The University of Chicago Roundtable. We present Avery Craven of the Department of History of the University of Chicago. Mr. Craven.
The South is in revolt against President Truman. Traditionally, the South has been democratic. Ever since the days of Reconstruction, the South has been regularly enough to be called the Solid South. This revolt on the part of the South is therefore something somewhat unique in American history. True, in 1920, Tennessee turned against the party, and in 1928, Virginia, North Carolina, Florida, Texas, and Tennessee voted for Hoover. Then the South went back into the regular party and assumed its traditional role. Joining in a discussion of the South and the Democratic Convention are Senator John Sparkman, Democratic Senator from Alabama, and Ellis Arnold, formerly Governor of Georgia. Senator Sparkman, how far has the revolt gone in Alabama?
Well, it's gone just about as far as it can go. You know, of course, that we've already had our election. We have selected delegates to the convention. We have chosen our electors, all of whom are pledged against Truman.
You have taken a positive position in opposition to the president.
That is correct.
Governor Arnold, what is your attitude toward this Southern revolt and its soundness?
Well, first of all, I would like to say that every 4 years we in the South revolt. We revolt against the third term, the fourth term, against Truman. But I do not attach the great importance to it that some apparently do. For example, while I disagree with Truman's so-called civil rights proposals, I believe that he is a man of courage and that we as the Democratic Party must defend his record and that he must be nominated if we are to win.
Well, Senator Sparkman, what is your opinion regarding the possibility of success of this revolt? Will Truman succeed in being nominated and elected?
Well, of course, that's a two-headed question. Let's go first to the nomination. There's a good bit of speculation, of course, as to whether or not he will be nominated. Some people claim that he already has a sufficient number of delegates pledged to him to nominate him. I'm quite certain that that is not true. In fact, I think he lacks a whole lot, having enough pledged to him to nominate him in the convention.
Well, Senator Sparkman, I think I would agree with you in regard to the possibility of Truman's success, but I'm not so certain that Mr. Arnold will agree with us.
No, first of all, I think that Truman has enough delegates now to ensure his nomination by the convention. Moreover, I am of the opinion that unless the Democratic Party keeps Truman as the nominee of that party, makes him the nominee, it will be an admission of failure on the part of our party and weaken our position before the people.
Well, before we get into too much speculation regarding the matter, let's look to see exactly the status of the present revolt. Would you explain to us exactly what Alabama has done, Senator Sparkman?
Yes, in our primary that was held May 4th, the runoff June 1st, we selected delegates to the Democratic Convention to be held in Philadelphia. All of those delegates, everyone without exception, is pledged against Truman. Furthermore, we named our Democratic electors who are to cast Alabama's vote in the Electoral College in November. In December, they will be elected in November. Every one of those electors, there are 11 of them, made a pledge to the people of Alabama prior to that election that if chosen as an elector, each one of them pledged that he would not, under any condition, vote for President Truman next November.
Does that mean, therefore, Senator, that a man in Alabama cannot vote for Truman?
That is correct. There is no slate of delegates to be on our November ballot for Truman.
And your delegates to the convention cannot support him in the convention?
They are pledged against it.
And if he is nominated, they then cannot vote for him?
That is correct.
Governor Arnold, what else has happened in the other parts of the South? Is Alabama, does she stand alone, or are there other signs of revolt.
Well, Craven, I would like to say that in my judgment, the Alabama situation is very regrettable because in any way that you look at it, it simply means that the Alabama Democratic Party has put itself on record of aiding and abetting the Republicans. And, of course, I think that they will regret it in time.
But she doesn't stand alone.
Well, actually, yes, that far. There's no other southern state that has gone that far. But it is my understanding that in Virginia, they have the state party, the Byrd machine, will nominate a state ticket. And also there will appear on the ballot the nominees of the Democratic Convention, the national ticket. Then the people of Virginia will vote on which set of electors they desire to cast the ballot of Virginia for president. It is also my information that certain of the southern states have held a convention with no official sanction other than just leading figures who have gone on record as opposing Truman in the convention.
That is the meeting at Jackson, Mississippi.
Yes, and that group is headed by Governor Laney of Arkansas. They also undertake through that operation to keep out of the party platform the so-called civil rights program and to oppose Truman because of his advocacy of that program.
Well, now, Governor Arnold, of course, you mentioned Alabama as having gone further than any other state, and of course that's true at this time. You also mentioned the situation in Virginia. Isn't it your understanding also that more than likely South Carolina, Mississippi, and Arkansas will at some time take similar action?
Well, Senator Sparkman, it is my judgment that other of the southern states, perhaps those you have enumerated, will cast their vote in the convention against Truman. But I do not believe they will vote against Truman in the November general election.
Well, of course, you understand that Governor Laney, Governor Wright, Governor Thurmond have been leaders in this so-called revolt, and even in this Jackson meeting, which proposed a post-convention meeting for the purpose of selecting a candidate for the southern states to support. Don't you suppose they have control pretty well of their election machinery that will make it possible for them to carry the revolt right on to November?
Yes, Senator, but I would like to get in this observation that at the moment the fight in the South is on the Truman civil rights proposals, and the South opposes those proposals. But after the convention, the issue will then be whether the South votes for the Democratic ticket. The emphasis will change.
Well, now, gentlemen, before you get too heated over this particular matter, wouldn't it be well for us to go back a little bit? If the South is breaking with its traditional policy, certainly we ought to inquire as to exactly what you think is behind this revolt. It seems to me that it is something that goes rather deep. And this is not just a surface explosion as I am expressing the southern temperament, as you indicated a moment ago. It has something rather sound back of it. What is your notion in regard to that, Senator Sparkman?
You mean as to the cause for the revolt?
As to the real basis of this revolt.
Well, I think there undoubtedly has been a great deal of dissatisfaction throughout the South because of its minority position, or you might say neglected position, inside the Democratic Party. For instance, for years and years, it's been impossible for a person from the South to receive proper consideration for inclusion on the national ticket. Cabinet positions and positions of high importance in the government usually go to people outside the South. If a man from the South is competing with one from another part of the country, a doubtful state, the man from the doubtful state gets the position.
Yes, but that isn't what caused this explosion.
No, and I was just going to say that those differences have existed, but the straw that broke the camel's back was undoubtedly President Truman's civil rights message to Congress.
You're certain then the camel's back has been broken by the civil rights?
In some places, it's been broken pretty severely.
Governor Arnold, would you agree with that?
In part, Craven. For example, I agree that there is dissatisfaction among Southern political leaders because the Southern political leaders have so long been ignored. There is not a man from the Southeast in the cabinet. There has not been a nominee of the party since the war between the states. Yes, that is true. But on the other hand, I think that much of the so-called Southern revolt is fomented by those in the South who are reactionary in their attitudes, and some out-of-South intermeddlers who are really Republicans using this issue to destroy the Democratic Party. So, in my judgment, Senator Sparkman did not cover the entire picture.
Well, I'm afraid that I must fall a little to the side of Senator Sparkman. The little experience I've had in the South in the last year seems to indicate to me that the immediate feeling is one stirred by President Truman's civil rights.
Yes, Craven, I admit that, but here's the problem. Here is the dilemma. When the Republicans pick their nominee and write their platform and incorporate these programs, then what will the South do?
May I say this, that I rather agree with Governor Arnold that some people in the South who are Republican at heart are taking advantage of this. But I think he's wrong in saying that they were the ones that stirred this thing up, that this thing was fomented by those people. They took advantage of it, and they are riding it for all that it's worth. But I've just been down in my state, out among the people, and I know that the people have been terribly stirred by this thing because they feel that the President of the United States, the son of a Confederate veteran, a man in whom they had implicit confidence, had gone back on them in recommending a program that would destroy the traditions of the past and would take away the thing that has made the South the solid South throughout the years.
Senator Sparkman, I am inclined to agree with that, but here is the problem. When the Republicans nominate their candidate and adopt their platform, let's assume that they put into it one of these so-called civil rights proposals. Then where will the South be? Will we desecrate our party, or will we aid and abet the Republicans, or shall we stand firm?
In other words, you're asking the question, if you jump out of the Democratic frying pan, do you not jump into the Republican
exactly.
fire?
Well, now, let me say this. Not for anything in the world do I want to say or do anything that gives aid and comfort to the Republican Party. The South has never received anything at the hands of the Republican Party.
Bravo.
I go with you to that extent. But at the same time, I know that this revolt in the South, and certainly in Alabama, with which I'm more familiar than any other part, is real. And we can talk about the frying pan and the fire all we want to. The voters in Alabama went to the polls on May 4th and made it impossible for me or anybody else in Alabama to vote for Truman next November.
Yes, Senator, but the regrettable thing is that when the Republicans write out a bill of fare for the South, which will be more wretched than anything Truman has proposed, then isn't it quite possible that some good Democrats in Alabama will resent and regret what they've done?
Well, I can say this. Remember, it was the people of Alabama who gave those instructions to our electors. I will say this, however. The Supreme Court of Alabama has just recently ruled, this was prior to the primary, that the matter of whom an elector should vote for was for him to decide in his own conscience.
In other words, Senator, the door is still open, even for the Alabama electors to support a Democratic nominee if in their conscience that is the thing to do.
For the electors, but not for the people in voting for the electors.
I understand.
And I will say this. It's been rather interesting to speculate on just what would happen next December when the Electoral College meets if the election of a Democratic president depended solely upon the electoral vote of the state of Alabama.
Gentlemen, you demonstrate something that I'm very glad you have brought out, namely the feeling and the emotion that is involved in this whole matter. It seems to me that it was the civil rights program that stirred the South emotionally, and that is the thing that has characterized the present revolt and perhaps its extreme measure. But let us pass a little further along to the more practical question. Now, does this revolt mean that the South should oppose Truman both in the convention and afterward in the election? Is that involved in the revolt necessarily? Arnold?
Well, in my judgment, the South should undertake to get all concessions possible from the convention. But when the election rolls round, I have strong faith that the South will still support the nominees of the Democratic Convention and the party nominees. In my judgment, we have nothing to gain from the Republican Party,
Some of the southern states voted Republican on other occasions, and they regretted that they did.
May I say also that, in my opinion, the South has gained a great deal from the Democratic administrations of the last few years.
There is no question about that.
And has made progress. You, therefore, would conclude from that that regularity is a greater virtue than revolt.
There is no question but that the South can gain more by supporting the Democratic Party.
Of course, I go along with the statement that the South has gained immeasurably in the last several years under the Democratic administration. It has meant much to us. But there is this argument that is advanced, whether it's valid or not, that there are some things too dear to be bought even by regularity and the ensuing benefit.
May I press that just a little further? Does that mean that you're answering my question regarding both the convention and the election by an answer of no?
Well, my thought is that in the convention, by all means, the South should try to get another candidate for presidency. In the event President Truman is nominated in the convention, then the question comes up of party regularity. Alabama is barred, as I explained a few minutes ago. So there is no chance for the voters in Alabama to support President Truman if he is the nominee.
Now, Senator, I understand that Alabama is not barred from supporting Truman if the electors determine by their conscience and their attitude that it is to the interest of the people of Alabama to support Truman in the Electoral College.
That's true so far as the electors are concerned, but if you noticed, I said the voters.
Yes, I understand.
In other words, the electors have pledged that have said that they would not under any condition vote for Truman, and the people voted for them after they had made that pledge.
Now, Craven, I desire to also ask the Senator this question. Assuming there are some things too dear, even for party regularity, if there is no choice, if there is no alternative, if the Republicans hand us a worse dish than the Democrats, what is to be gained by lack of party regularity?
Well, I was going to ask the question, would you carry it so far as to oppose Truman when you realize that it might mean a Republican victory?
That's the question.
You know, that's an awfully tough question to answer. I said a while ago that I did not want to say or do anything that gave any aid or comfort to the Republican Party. I admit now, I want to say this, I admit that we're pushed into a very difficult position. But you know, a lot of people down our way take this attitude that the Democratic Party is going to lose this election. That the South, by standing up and revolting this time, may at least assert its independence and win a position in the party councils in the years that are to come. I'm not saying whether that's a good argument or not. I'm saying that a lot of people are advancing that argument.
I understand that as a good Democrat, Senator Sparkman merely makes that suggestion coming from others. But I predict that when the votes are counted, Alabama, as the rest of the South, will be for Truman and the Democratic Party. Right. Now, one other question. Senator Sparkman observes that in his judgment, some people, rather, say that the Democrats can't win. I want to tell you, Craven and Senator Sparkman, that the Democratic Party will win if we Democrats are more interested in success than we are in aiding the Republicans.
I see you're in a predicting mood. You want to predict, then, that if the Democrats nominate Truman, he can be elected?
There is no question, but that is true if the Democrats will support him.
Sparkman, do you agree with that?
Well, let me say this, that there never was a time in the history of this country when the issues stacked up more favorably for the Democratic Party. Certainly the Republican Congress during the last 2 years has given to the Democratic Party the finest issues in the world to go to the country. It's most regrettable that this other thing has arisen that has thrown the South in open revolt. And let me say this. When I speak of the revolt in the South, we need not hide our heads in the sand. We know that there are Democrats in other areas of the country that have been disappointed with many of the things that have happened and are not going into this campaign if President Truman is renominated with any enthusiasm whatsoever.
Of course, you and I know, Senator, that you can't legislate understanding between people.
I agree with you fully.
Therefore, we think that the Truman so-called civil rights proposal is a mistake. But assuming that's true, shall we
hold against a man who is a titular head of our party and the government, that one mistake. There are things more important, for example, his position in fighting monopolies, cartels, and combines, in his position on foreign affairs. There is so much that we can put emphasis on that I wish somehow we would take it off of this so-called civil rights proposal.
Well, gentlemen,
that was a mistake.
Well, gentlemen, I agree with you that the Democrats have some magnificent issues if they will make use of them. I would like to also say that I think the Democratic Party is probably in the worst shape it has been since 1860.
It is in that position by reason of dissension in the party.
It was in that same condition in 1860 for the same reason exactly.
Therefore, the issue will be whether the Democrats want to win to such an extent that we stand together, or whether we want to stand apart and lose.
And that was the same issue in 1860, too, wasn't it?
It was the same issue in 1860. I'd like to say also one other thing. As far as the civil rights is concerned, there is practically nothing new in the Truman proposals. There's practically nothing there that the Republicans have not supported, practically nothing there that was not true under Roosevelt. And as far as the South is concerned, I further have something of a notion that most of the Southern people are making rather long progress in the direction, exactly the same direction, that these proposals go.
Well, I want to say this, Craven. I am a strong believer in this. That if the South can be left alone, it will work out its civil rights problem. As a matter of fact, we're making progress much faster than people in other parts of the country are willing to believe. I saw something recently that impressed me very much. It is in connection with this regional school that we in the South tried to advocate. Dr. Clausen, I believe, was his name, the president of Meharry College. In his testimony, made this statement, and I think he's right. He was talking about segregation. He said the kind of segregation that Negroes ought to be interested in and try to break down was not social segregation, but economic segregation. And I think he's exactly right.
And that's why, Senator Sparkman, I believe that emphasis should be placed on the economy of the South and fair treatment for all sections and all our people rather than singling out one thing.
Well, don't you believe that, as a matter of fact, in the South, we have been making progress along of giving the Negro a more equal and a more equitable economic opportunity.
Correct, and we are making that progress under Democratic administration.
But don't you believe this, that trying to force a civil rights program upon us is going to slow up that progress rather than hurry it up?
It will injure the cause and be a disservice to both races.
And yet, gentlemen, you cannot overlook the fact that in the present situation in the world and the position the United States has taken as the great spokesman for the Democratic dogma, to a certain extent you could not escape in the United States the raising of these very problems. And the fact, as I have said, that these have been raised in other administrations indicates that there is something basic that must be accomplished in the South.
Yes, Craven, there is a fundamental also involved, whether we shall commit our government to a belief that only those things good and true can stem out of Washington, or whether states will assume responsibilities. And I think that in the South there is time for us to do some things at the state level.
And it seems to me that one of the tragic things in this whole business is the fact that you have the question of civil rights and the question of states' rights thrown against each other. For where rights are involved, emotions are stirred, and the democratic process of compromise is almost impossible.
But what we need to recognize is this, that the states, if given the proper encouragement and left alone, will take care of these things. Well, let me use just this example. There were some schoolmen here in Washington this week from my home county, and they were telling me about a big consolidated Negro high school. And you know what they told me? That every single teacher in that high school had a master's degree. I said, how does that compare with the white schools of the county? Why, he said, we've got lots of high school teachers that don't even have a college degree, an A.B. degree. I said, how about the pay? He said, a teacher in that Negro school with a master's degree gets the same pay as a teacher in a white school with a master's degree. Now, people over the country just don't believe those things exist.
Yes, and I would like to point out that Georgia abrogated the poll tax. It did not take federal action.
Well, gentlemen, that is exactly the point I was trying to make. Namely, if the South wants to maintain states' rights, then the South is under obligation to do certain things that are of national interest and are of human interest. so that there will be no excuse whatsoever for the federal government stepping in. The best defense of states' rights is state action along these lines where human interests will be taken care of. And I would like to say further than that, that there never has been a time in American life when legal rights have been able to stand up against human rights. The Declaration of Independence, over and over again, has proven itself superior to the Constitution. And in that particular light, the South should know more about it than any other section of the country, for in 1860, they had it pointed out with force.
Yes, we need state responsibilities and obligations as well as state rights.
But don't you agree with me that the states are assuming those responsibilities
more
and more, and
yes,
making tremendous progress?
Yes, I do, Senator.
Well, now, gentlemen, we've run around a good deal over this whole issue, but there's one point that it seems to we must get back to, and that is this. As to what, after all, should be the program, say, for instance, that the Democratic Party should take up, which would be satisfactory to the real interests of the South. What are your suggestions along that line, Darnold?
Well, I think that the Democratic Party should concern itself with a relentless war on monopoly, with the cost of living, with a more equitable tax system, with foreign policy that will let communism know that we won't default to it, with economic well-being of each section of this nation, knowing that it must be a common country for all our people, irrespective of where they live. Those things transcend, it seems to me, the emotional status of the so-called civil rights proposal.
And after all, the South is American as well as every other section of the nation.
It is part of this great common country of ours.
And what's your suggestion, Senator Sparkman?
I agree, I think, substantially with the statement that Governor Arnold has just made with reference to the economic program that the South ought to adopt. But I believe, furthermore, that the South is going to continue to be plagued politically unless something is done. Good many people believe that we ought to have a two-party system in the South. I'm not so sure of that, because if that's ever done, then, of course, the Negro comes in as a balance of power, and we have the same problem then that a great many of these other states where the Negro occupies a balance of power, and again, you've got those same forces playing upon you. There's one thing I've been very much interested in, and that is a bill that's pending in Congress now that seeks to change the electoral college setup so as to give to each candidate the same proportion of the electoral vote as he receives in the voting by the people. That would make the South somewhat a two-party state, and at the same time would take away from the minorities the vast power that they now have in elections.
Well, gentlemen, I notice neither of you have suggested that there should be in the South an independent party to hold a balance, a revolt definitely from the Democratic Party and the establishment of another branch of the Democratic Party in the South.
Well, Craven, I believe only that there should be two major parties, not splinter parties.
I would hate very much myself to see a large number of parties in this country. I don't believe we get the best government out of that.
Thank you, gentlemen. You've been listening to the University of Chicago Roundtable discuss the South and the Democratic Convention with Senator John Sparkman, Democrat of Alabama, Ellis Arnold, former governor of Georgia, and Avery Craven, historian of the University of Chicago, as participants. This week's Roundtable pamphlet includes the full text of today's discussion and special illustrations and materials on presidential elections in the United States. You will want to order a copy of this pamphlet, which costs 10 cents in coin. Send 10 cents with your order to the University of Chicago Roundtable, Chicago 37, Illinois. For $3, you may subscribe to the pamphlet for a full year and receive 52 issues. The pamphlet also contains reading lists, supplementary footnotes, and questions for discussion. Be sure to write for your copy. Address the University of Chicago Roundtable, Chicago 37, Illinois. Next week, the Roundtable will present Senator Wayne Morris of Oregon and Senator Harry Kane of Washington in a discussion of the Republican Convention. Today's roundtable originated in Washington. The National Broadcasting Company and its independent affiliated stations have cooperated in the presentation of this discussion, which brings the American listener various shades of opinion on important public issues.